case, that might happen, not here in SKA, but unless that might happen in other places, so we want to increase our limit of Torah, we want to connect more to Torah during this time, and it really is such a credit to you, such a credit to the school, to come to learn Torah on this very, very busy Tuesday morning. It's a great cover for myself and the school to have a dear friend of mine, Rabbi Jonas Steinmetz, who also is Kamesky's son-in-law as well, for full disclosure, and to come. He's a wonderful Talmid Chacham, a talented Marvis Torah, who has a geshmak for Torah, an excitement for Torah, and Mirza Hashem will all take his words of Torah and be inspired to take us with us into Chanukah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wasn't there supposed to be froyo?
It's
going to melt. Usually I like to speak while people are eating froyo, because then they get brain freeze, they can't ask any questions. Is it possible to get it in the room while I'm speaking? You'll work it out if you can. Okay, so my name is Jonas Steinmetz. It's a pleasure to meet everyone. It really is, as Rabbi Rice pointed out, a special thing to see so many people who come out in the middle of a day to learn a little bit extra. I understand it's not a required class. This is almost like a club hour, and it's even more impressive to have so many thousands of people in the recording. They think it's true. So many thousands of people coming together to learn on a morning and during school. It's Baruch Hashem, very impressive. It's a Kiddush Hashem, and it's inspiring to me, to your Rebbeim, to your Moros, and to everyone around. I was asked to discuss something Chanukah related and something related to the current matzah we find ourselves in, specifically in Eretz Yisrael and across the world, how we relate to it. There's an often asked question when it comes to Chanukah. Rabbi Rice and I were discussing something similar to this a moment ago. The question is that if you look at the liturgy over the course of Chanukah and you compare it to the literary accounts of what happens on Chanukah, you'll notice an interesting discrepancy. When we daven, when we say our Shemona Esrei, Ashtila Shemona Esrei, our Chazar Zashatz, when we're davening, we say Al Anisim. During the Al Anisim, we mention what happened on Chanukah, and the majority of the focus is obviously on the Nes, the miracle of the Melchama, the war that the Jewish people were under attack. They were besieged by the Greek Assyrians, by the Yevanim, and it seemed like they were going to fail. There was no way such a small army could defeat such a vast, great world power as the Greeks. And yet, Rabim Biad Ma'atim, you know, Timeim Biad Tahorim, we won the war that we were not expected to win. That's the crux of the Al Nisim Tefillah. And yet, when you go to the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos in the second parak asks the question, Mai Chanukah? What is Chanukah? Meaning, what's the story of Chanukah? What are we celebrating on Chanukah? There, the Gemara gives a very different answer. The Gemara makes no mention of the Melchama, of the war, and in fact, the Gemara really focuses only on the other nes, which was the oil, the Pach Shemen, that they found the tiniest amount of oil that should have really lasted a very short amount of time, and yet it lasted all 8 days and nights for which we celebrate Chanukah. So the question is asked, why the discrepancy? Which one's the real miracle? I mean, I could have understood if both were nisim, both were miracles, and Chazal and the Tefillah and the stories that we tell represent and reflect both of those miracles every time. But it seems like the different sources are focused on different nisim. It seems like they're two distinct and separate events, and only according to one source, only one of them is correct. According to the other source, only the other one is correct. How do you resolve, how do you put together those various sources which cite the nis, the miracle of Chanukah, as either the Melchama or the Pach Hashem and the little bit of oil that was left over that miraculously lit for more days than it should have? So there are many answers to this question, but I want to focus on one from the Maharal. The Maharal has a sefer called Ner Mitzvah. The sefer Ner Mitzvah, the Maharal wrote many, many sfarim. He's a prolific author. And one of the sfarim he wrote, Ner Mitzvah, is all about Chanukah. It's actually not all about Chanukah, it's half about Chanukah. And the half that's about Chanukah has halachic parts, it has hashkafic parts, it has agadata parts. So in that context, he asks our question, or something similar to our question, and he says a fascinating thing. He says the absolute truth is, Al Anisim is correct. The main miracle of Chanukah, 100%, was the war. We are under the greatest existential threat we could have imagined. We were at risk of being annihilated completely. I mean, the Greeks could have obliterated us. They were so much stronger, we didn't stand a chance. Winning that war was the greatest miracle we could have imagined, and that's the miracle that we're celebrating on Chanukah. Al Anisim is for sure the dominant theme of Milchama, that's correct. However, imagine you lived during that time. Imagine the Jews were under threat by the Greeks, and the soldiers were so much stronger than ours, and through some, you know, finagling and some sneaking around and some Jewish brains and some Jewish bravery, somehow we ended up winning the war. Would it be so obvious that it was a miracle? would you know for sure that it was Yad Hashem? Would you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won the war for you, says the Maharal? Not necessarily. Some people could have looked at that victory and said, Kochi ba'otzim yadi, it was my strength, it was my fortitude, it was my strategic genius, it was my military ingenuity that crafted a plan that overcame the enemy. It's true, big armies usually beat little armies, but we see in modern times also, right? Ukraine, without any specific Yad Hashem in terms of them being the chosen people, is holding on pretty strong, even against a very strong, much stronger army. True, the Russian army is not as strong as we once thought they were, but it's clearly true that a miracle can happen in a very natural way. That a smaller army, a weaker army, can draw up plans, can build up a strategy in which they're able to defeat someone bigger even without an open miracle, even without a nes. And the Jewish people could have looked at what happened and said, we did it, we won, we were stronger. It's true that they were bigger, it's true that ostensibly they should have won, but we had the better plan and we had the better military strategy, and so we won the war. Says the Maharal, that's not the case. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu won the war for the Jewish people. Of course it was Al HaNisim V'Al HaNeflos V'Al Yeshuos. It was Yeshua, it was a salvation from no one else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that could have gone unnoticed. People could not have realized, they could have missed the cue and not noticed that it was Yad HaShem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, won the war for them. Says the Maharal, what makes us notice that the Melchama, the war, was through HaShem? That the miracle of the Melchama, the nace of the war, was from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He said, what makes us realize that, pay attention here, is the nace of the Shemen, the oil. Because after we won that war and we went into the Mikdash and we saved what we had left, the remnants of the Beis HaMikdash, and we decided we wanted to light a menorah, and all we found was one little pach shemen, one little jug of oil that really should not have lit for as long as it did. And then it lit for 8 days and 8 nights. We realized that was a miracle. There's no way to dream that up any other. That's not science. That's not our strength. There's no other way to understand that other than a nes nigla, an open miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the Jews saw the nes nigla of the menorah and the mikdash, they said, oh, if this was an ace, the whole thing must have been a miracle. Even the war must have been a miracle. It's true, different places in Chazal, different places in our liturgy, are focusing on different parts of the miracle. But even that second miracle of the Pach Shemen only serves to show us, to reveal to us, that even the Melchama, even the war itself, was also a miracle. They work in tandem. They go together, one teaches you about the other. This Maharal is reminiscent of a comment that the Ramban has very famously at the end of Parshas Bo. The Ramban writes at the end of Parshas Bo that there are two types of nisim, there are two types of miracles that exist in our world throughout history. One type of miracle is called a nes nigla, the splitting of the sea, Kriyas Yamsuf, the Eser Makos, the 10 plagues that hit Mitzrayim. These are miracles that are before our eyes that no one could deny. Everyone sees it and says, ah, Hashem stepped in and overturned nature. He did an overhaul on the system. He changed things up so much. It was an open supernatural miracle. That's a nes nigla, an open miracle. But there are also nisim nistarim, a nes nistar, which is a hidden miracle, a subdued miracle, a quiet miracle, something that happens from Hashem, through Hashem, by Hashem, and it can go unnoticed. It can kind of slip under the wraps. It's something you don't necessarily see in your daily life, but it's certainly coming from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. Those are two types of nisim, two types of miracles that we can experience in this world. Says the Ramban, the nes nigla exists in order to show you all the nisim nistarim. Everything we do every single day, when we wake up and we can see, when we can move our fingers, when we can talk, when we can hear, and when things go wrong also, every dollar we spend, every dollar we make, every dollar we lose, everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's a nes. There's no such thing as teva. There's no such thing as nature without HaKadosh Baruch Hu guiding it. Everything is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything is a nes, but it's a nes nistar. Every nes is a little bit hidden. It's a little bit subdued. It's a little bit quiet. It's hard for us to notice, to pick up on the cues of HaKadosh Baruch Hu smiling at us throughout our day. But once in a long while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu splits the sea. Once in a long while, Hashem creates a nes so big and so grand that you cannot ignore it. And then, says the Ramban, when you see that nes and you can't ignore it, what happens? It's megale. It reveals. It shows you. It uncovers that your entire life you were experiencing nisim all along. You were experiencing miracles along the entire way. Hashem was there with you and there for you throughout the entirety of your life. They were just nisim nistarim. But that big miracle helps you realize that everything else along the way was also, quote-unquote, little miracles. Everything along the way was nisim nistarim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We see that through the bigger, moreover, the more open miracles of the Nes Nigla, just like the Maharal told us about Chanukah, that the Nes of the Shemen, of the oil, teaches you that the Melchama was also a miracle. It's a beautiful idea, both by the Ramban and the Maharal. It's very meaningful. Like I said before, it's actually famous. People who know this Ramban, it's well known. He repeats it many times in Chumash. It's an important idea. But it's also confusing. I don't actually understand it. I said over the words, but I don't actually understand it. How does that work? Let me ask you a question. Let's say you were living your life a certain way, and Hashem was performing Nisim Starim all along. And the entire time, you thought it was nature. You thought the grades get in school are because of the work you put in. And you thought that making the basketball team or not making the basketball team was because you're good at sports or you're not good at sports. And you thought that, this friend being mean to you or that friend being nice to you is because of your personality. And you didn't realize the whole time that Hashem was really pulling the strings. Your hishtadlus, your trying, your effort matters. And Hashem does Nisim for you to make things work or not work depending on the circumstances. You went through life not noticing that. Then one day you walk out of school and someone blocked your car. And you guys drive? How old are you? Anyone here drive? Well, one person drives, so that's perfect. You'll be the person for the mashal. So I walk outside and I see my car is blocked in. I don't drive either, so nobody should be embarrassed. I don't drive. So, but that's more of like a frum thing. So I walk outside and the car is blocked in. The car is blocked in. I can't get out of my spot. So you're looking there like, oh, my day is ruined. My day is ruined. First the froyo didn't come, and now my car is blocked in. It's a terrible day. And all of a sudden, you open your eyes and you look, and all of the cars split. The whole parking lot splits, and your car is right open. You can go in, you can drive out, no problems whatsoever. A nes nigla. So you better believe you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point. You believe that Hashem split the sea of the parking lot for you. There's no way to deny that. There's no other way to explain. The car's floating out of the way, correct? But does that then make you think that everything that happened in the last 16 years of your life, 14 years, I don't know how old everyone is, but you know, last however many years of your life, is also a miracle? I was talking about myself when I said last 16 years of life. I don't know how old you guys are. But does that show you that everything in the last however many years of your life was also miracles? Isn't the following possible? Isn't it possible that for the first 15 years, everything was nature? I was just living my life the way nature and science and the world took me. And then in a split second, Hashem decided, I'm going to do a big miracle for you. And he overturned nature for that moment to split the sea of cars so that I can get out of my spot. Isn't that possible also? Why does the splitting of the sea, why does the splitting of the cars prove that everything else was also miracles? One has nothing to do with the other. Maybe we did win the Chanukah war ourselves, with our strength, with our genius, with our cunning, you know, military strategy. Maybe we did win that war ourselves. Maybe we did break out of Mitzrayim on our own. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea. Maybe we won the war against the Yavanim. And then Hashem separately made a nes nigla, an open miracle, of letting the candles last for 8 days. What does one have to do with the other? Just because the candles lasted 8 days doesn't really prove to me that everything beforehand was also an open miracle. They're two unrelated events, no? So this Ramban is very beautiful. This Maharal is very beautiful. But what's the mechanism? How does the nes nigla prove the nes nister? How does the open miracle compel a person to believe that everything else is also miracles? L'chora, one person could say, neither one is related to the other. They're two unrelated events. Everyone understand the question? That's what bothers me about the Ramban. So perhaps we'll make a suggestion. A little bit of a deeper understanding of what the Ramban really means. In order to do so, we just can take another comment about Chanukah. The Maharal, in the same sefer, but a different section, asks a different question. He notes that the mitzvah of Neros Chana takes place what time of day? Neros Chanukah? Louder? Nighttime. Yeah, okay, it's hard to get it wrong when you say that. A little more specific? Okay, then we can start getting to a machlokas in the Rishon Miachronim around Seis HaKochavim. So let's say somewhere between Shkia and Seis, to be safe. I don't know who, if Rabbi Rice is the official posik here or not, but Rabbi Rice would probably tell you 10 minutes after Shkia. Is that accurate? That's what Rabbi Schechter says. Other people say 20 minutes after Shkia. Other people say closer to Tzeis, closer to Shkia. So there's a range of opinions in terms of when exactly. But everyone agrees on the first answer, which you guys gave, which is generally nighttime, Laila. We light candles at night. Good. The Maharal asks a very simple question. Side note, the Maharal always asks simple questions. The Maharal made a living of asking, I mean, I don't know if he made a living out of this. I think he was separately wealthy. But he also always asked a very simple question, but the answer showed the depth behind the question that he was asking. So he would ask a very, very simple question, why do we light candles at night? But his answer would make you realize, oh my gosh, that wasn't a simple question. That was such a deep opening to such a beautiful concept in Torah that I wasn't familiar with before. And so the Maharal asks, why do we light candles at night? The truth is, when you think about it, mitzvos hayom of Yom Tovim are usually just that. They're mitzvos hayom. We do mitzvahs during the day. Lulav, Esrog, we often perform mitzvahs during the daytime. Tefillin is a daytime mitzvah. So why is it that Hanukkah candles have to be at night? Now you'll tell me, technically speaking, a light only shines at night. If there's a lot of light outside, then you won't be able to light a candle. Okay, we could have closed the windows and made it dark in our room. Or it could have been that the mitzvah of Hanukkah wasn't to shine any light. It was just to ignite a fire, even if it didn't shine any light. So who says that lighting the Hanukkah candles had to be at nighttime? That's what the Maharal asked this question. So the Maharal gives a very cryptic, enigmatic answer. And he says as follows. He says, the yom, daytime, is hanhagas hateva. Daytime is the time of teva, of nature. Vilayla hum yuchad lenisim. Nighttime is specifically correlated with and conducive to miracles. Daytime is about nature. Nighttime is about supernatural, about miracles. What does that mean? So if you learn Maharal, nowadays you have to use Rabbi Hartman's edition, the blue editions of the Maharal. So in Rabbi Hartman's footnotes, he has a handful, 5, 6, 7 sources in different places in the Maharal where he talks about this idea. In each place he adds another word. If you put it all together, you'll come out with the following. What happens at nighttime? At nighttime it gets very dark, and it gets very quiet, and the world and the person basically goes into sleep mode. The world basically shuts down. You can't see, you can't think as clearly, you can't interact with people as seamlessly. The cars aren't on the road as much, the stores are closed, the noise has stopped because the cars aren't there and because people aren't outside. It gets quiet, it gets dark, it gets empty. And that, says the Maharal, represents bitul hametzius. It means we almost cease to exist. Nighttime is a time when people sort of shut down, and the world as a whole sort of shuts down. That's what nighttime really is. And when we are most quiet, when we are most alone, when we are most vulnerable, that's when a nes can happen. And that's when a nes does happen. You know why? Because when we go through the daytime, with all of the teva, all of the nature taking place all around us, all of the noise of our daily living, all the things we're thinking about, all of our plans, all of our drama, all of our classes, all of our jobs, all of our everything that's going on in our life, it's very, very difficult to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very, very difficult to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's specifically at nighttime, when everything shuts down and everything seems to stop in its tracks, seems to cease to exist. It's at that moment that a person can recognize, relate to, and connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when a person recognizes, relates to, and connects with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what happens? Nisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs for them in a very intimate way, in a very intense way, in a way that will change their world, in a supernatural way. Laila hum yuchad lenisim. We light Chanukah candles at night because Chanukah is a time where we're celebrating the nisim, the nes of the Melchama. And we need a nighttime to reflect on those nisim. We need to see a light shining in a time when it's otherwise so dark and so empty and so quiet. We need to brighten that darkness with the light of Chanukah, because that's when nisim shine. When everything else dissipates, when everything else falls away, that's when we can hear him. That's when we can see him. That's when we can notice the miracles of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I tend to think that the reason why nisim nistarim are so nister, the reason why hidden miracles are so hidden, why you have such trouble noticing them, the biggest impediment to our viewing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, it's us. It's our inability to quiet ourselves. It's our inability to close our eyes and look around and see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's our inability to shut everything else out and to make our day into a little bit more Laila and to see the hand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu guiding us through everything. It's not always our fault. It's so noisy. It's so difficult. There's so many distractions. There's so much going on in our lives, in the lives of our family, in the lives of our friends, in the news. There's so much going on. How does a person have time to stop and think? But if we could only make a Laila once in a while, if we could only darken, pull the blinds, pull the shades, make for ourselves a nighttime, quiet down, be mevatel our metzias, close our eyes, we'd see a lot more. We'd see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a lot more things. That's why Laila is a zman miyuchad for nisim, and that's why candles of Chanukah are lit balayla, because that's the time of nisim, the time to recognize and the time to celebrate those very nisim. So the problem is that there's so much noise and so much action, so much going on, that we miss the nisim nistarim, we miss the hand of HaKadosh Baruch in our daily living. Now there's two responses that a person can offer to solve that issue. The first is what we just said. Shut out all the noise. If you quiet everything else down, you can focus a little bit more on what's going on that you've been missing until now. You could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life because everything else has dimmed. Everything else has quieted. Everything else has gone to sleep. Laila is miyuchad lenisim. We have that opportunity on Chanukah. We have that opportunity when we go to bed at night and we say Shema on our Mita. We have plenty of opportunities to make a Laila out of a world of Yom. But there's another way that I can get your attention, even in a loud room. Even if it's noisy, and even if it's bright, and even if it's so hard to focus on any particular thing, there's another way to get someone's attention, other than saying shh and quieting everyone else down. You know what else I could do? I could just be louder. I could just make a bigger noise. I could just make a brighter explosion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, once in a long while, gives us a nes nigla. It's always nisim. It's just quiet, and you can't really catch it among all of the sound waves and light waves of the world that's going on around you. But once in a while, there's a great flash of brilliance, an open miracle, a kriyas yamsuf, the car is splitting so you can get out of your spot. That happens, and everything else quiets down, not because it was quieted, but because this so overpowered it. This overcame the noise. This nes nigla was so much louder, so much brighter, that it was impossible to ignore. You couldn't miss that clue. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made himself unmistakable. It was impossible not to realize the nes nigla in front of your eyes. Those are the two ways, the two methods by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can dispel the noise and get your attention, either by quieting everything else, which we have control over, or he can take the reins and he can outshine and shout over all of the other noise. Okay, but how does that answer our question? So Hashem shouts a little bit louder. Hashem quiets all the other noise. He has our attention. So now he's proven that Kriyas Yamsuf was him. He's proven that the nes of the Pach Hashem and the candles was him. He's proven that the splitting of the cars was him. That's great. How does that tell me about anything in the past? How does that tell me about anything in the future? What does this have to do with all of the quiet nisim that go unnoticed all week long? So maybe the answer is that we've been misunderstanding the Ramban all along. It's not a kunz. It's not a trick. It's not a magic trick. There's no skula here. It's not that if you see a nes nigla, all of a sudden you're magically going to start seeing all the nisim nistarim. That is not what the Ramban meant. You know what the Ramban meant? When you see a nes nigla, listen to this. When you see an open miracle, Hashem opens your eyes. He lets you see a world in which he has complete control, in which every detail is run by, is coordinated by, is manipulated by him and him alone. That's the world he exposes you to. When you see the sea split, you know there's nothing else. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you see the nes of the Pach Shemen, the oil lasting for 8 days, you know the Ribono Shel Olam runs the show, every detail in the show. That doesn't prove that everything that happened until now was a nes. That doesn't prove that last week when your coffee spilled, it was because Hashem spilled it on you. Or when the coffee tasted good, it's because Hashem wanted you to have a good day. But you're now gifted with that perspective. Now that you've seen a nes nigla, you have the ability to clean your lenses. You have new eyes, a new perspective on the world. You've seen a world in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything. It's on you now to take that perspective, those lenses, those glasses HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you, to put them on and to wear them during every day of your life. You've seen the world as all for Hashem. You've seen the world of nes nigla. If you've seen an open miracle, you know Hashem runs the show. If you maintain that, if you keep that in your mind and in your eye, and then you live your life with that perspective, you'll start to see guaranteed 100% the miracles in every moment of your life. It's not a kunz. It's not a trick. It's an avoda. It's something we have to work on. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us a gift. When he lets the oil last for 8 days, when he splits the sea, when he opens the parking lot for us, he's giving us the opportunity to see. I'm here. I'm running everything. Now take that vision and use it to look at everything else in your life. And then you're guaranteed to see all of the nisim, all of the more hidden, more subtle, more quiet miracles throughout every moment of your life. We're living in a world and a time where miracles abound. Anyone who reads the news, some miracles are more open, some miracles less open. But as you read the news, you're seeing things that shouldn't naturally happen in Eretz Yisrael, for better and for worse. For better and for worse. There are nisim that abound. But they're all nisim nistarim. Iron Dome is a nes. I don't think it's possible to deny that. It's a nes nistar because some genius of a Jew invented this thing that somehow sees, but I can't even explain it, but it's not possible to fathom. It's a nes, but it's a nes nistar. So how does a person start to see that nes and other nisim nistarim? The answer is either a person sees a nes nigla, and it opens their eyes and allows them to look at the world in that way, realizing Hashem's control? Or the first piece of advice, Thursday night we're going to have the time during a dark period of the night when all the lights are out, when the streets are quieter, when people are at home with their families, when there's no noise outside, and we light that first candle, and we're going to reflect on, we're going to remember as we ignite that candle, the nes of Bayam and Mahim. We're going to think about a nes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did that we may not have recognized at the time was a nes, but that the nes of the Shemen taught us was a nes, and it's going to give us the perspective that the Milchama was also a nes. But I challenge all of us to start to think, as we're sitting there by the candles, not only was that Milchama a nes, Bayam and Mahim, but Bazman HaZeh also. Is this not also a nes? Isn't this not also Yad Hashem? Is not everything that we're watching happen daily in the news a nes within the Milchama? And once you have those lenses on, once you're looking with those glasses, why don't you sit there just a little bit longer and start to think about your day? Yesterday, the day before, today, tomorrow. And try to think how that light of Hanukkah is really shining something on every part of your existence. How everything in your daily living is a nes. How every nes nistar is really something which you're supposed to notice the Yad Hashem. And the more we notice Him, the more we'll feel He's there for us. He's there with us. And b'siyat l'shmai, we should be zocha to more and more nes and nistarim. And ultimately, the biggest nes nigla, the bias gal tzedek b'meher v'yameinu. Amen. I thank you all for coming to learn. And yashikach to all of you.